Now, there was in the town a great tea shop, but newly opened, and by a man from the south who understood such business. And Wang Lung had before this passed the place by, filled with horror at the thought of how money was spent there in gambling and in play and in evil women. But now, driven by his unrest from idleness, and wishing to escape from the reproach of his own heart when he remembered that he had been unjust to his wife, he went toward this place. He was compelled by his restlessness to see or to hear something new. Thus he stepped across the threshold of the new tea shop into the great glittering room, full of tables and open to the street as it was, and he went in, bold enough in his bearing, and trying to be the more bold because his heart was timid. And he remembered that only in the last few years was he more than a poor man, who hadn't at any time more than a silver piece or two, and a man who had even labored at pulling a rickshaw on the streets of a southern city. At first he didn't speak at all in the great tea-house, but he bought his tea quietly and drank it, and looked about him with wonder. This shop was a great hall, and the ceiling was set about with gilt, and upon the walls there were scrolls hung made of white silk and painted with the figures of women. Now these women Wang Lung looked at secretly and closely, and it seemed to him they were women in dreams, for none on earth had he seen like them. And the first day he looked at them, and drank his tea quickly, and went away. But day after day, while the waters held on his land, he went to this tea shop and bought tea, and sat alone and drank it, and stared at the pictures of the beautiful women. And each day he sat longer, since there was nothing for him to do on his land or in his house. So he might have continued for many days on end, for in spite of his silver hidden in a score of places, he was still a country-looking fellow, and the only one in all that rich tea-shop who wore cotton instead of silk, and had a braid of hair down his back such as no man in a town will wear. But one evening, when he sat drinking and staring from a table near the back of the hall, someone came down from a narrow stair which clung to the furthermost wall and led to the upper floor. Now this tea-shop was the only building in all that town which had an upper floor, except the western pagoda, which stood 5 stories high outside the west gate. But the pagoda was narrow and more narrow toward the top, while the second floor of the tea-shop was as square as that part of the building which stood upon the ground. At night, the high singing of women's voices and light laughter floated out of the upper windows, and the sweet strumming of lutes struck delicately by the hands of girls. One could hear the music streaming into the streets, especially after midnight. Although where Wang Lung sat, the clatter and noise of many men drinking tea and the sharp, bony click of dice and sparrow dominoes muffled all else. Thus it was that Wang Lung didn't hear behind him on this night the footsteps of a woman creaking upon the narrow stair. And so he started violently when one touched him on the shoulder, not expecting that any would know him here. When he looked up, it was into a narrow, handsome woman's face, the face of Cuckoo, the woman into whose hands he had poured the jewels that day he bought land, and whose hand had held steady the old lord's shaking one, and helped him to set aright his seal upon the deed of the sale. She laughed when she saw him, and her laughter was a sort of sharp whispering. "Well, and Wang the farmer," she said, lingering with malice on the word farmer. "And who would think to see you here?" It seemed to Wang Lung then that he must prove at any cost to this woman that he was more than a mere country fellow. And he laughed and said too loudly, "Isn't my money as good to spend as another man's? and money I don't lack in these days. I have had good fortune." Cuckoo stopped at this, her eyes narrow and bright as a snake's eyes, and her voice smooth as oil flowing from a vessel. "And who has not heard it? And how shall a man better spend the money he has over and above his living than in a place like this, where rich men take their joy and elegant lords gather to take their joy in feasting and pleasure? There is no such wine as ours. Have you tasted it, Wang Lung?"
"I have only drunk tea as yet," replied Wang Lung, and he was half ashamed. "I haven't touched wine or dice."
"Tea!" she exclaimed after him, laughing shrilly. "But we have tiger bone wine and dawn wine and wine of fragrant rice. Why need you drink tea?"
And as Wang Lung hung his head, she said softly and insidiously,
"And I suppose you haven't looked at anything else, have you, eh? No pretty little hands? No sweet-smelling cheeks?"
Wang Lung hung his head yet lower, and the red blood rushed into his face, and he felt as though everyone near looked at him with mockery and listened to the voice of the woman. But when he took heart to glance about from under his lids, he saw no one paying any heed, and the rattling of dice burst out anew, and so he said in confusion,
No, I haven't. Only tea."
Then the woman laughed again, and pointed to the painted silken scrolls, and said,
"There they are, their pictures. Choose which one you wish to see, and put the silver in my hand, and I will place her before you."
"Those," said Wang Lung, wondering. "I thought they were pictures of dream women, of goddesses in the mountain of Quen Wen, such as the storytellers speak of."
"So they are dream women," rejoined Cuckoo with mocking good humor. "But dreams such as a little silver will turn into flesh."
And she went on her way, nodding and winking at the servants standing about, and motioning to Wang Lung as at one of whom she said,
"There is a country bumpkin."
But Wang Lung sat staring at the pictures with a new interest. Up this narrow stairway, then, in the rooms above him, there were these women in flesh and blood. And men went up to them, other men than he, of course, but men. Well, and if he weren't the man he was, a good and working man, a man with a wife and sons, which picture would he, pretending as a child pretends that he might do a certain thing, pretending then, which would he pretend to take? And he looked at every painted face closely, and with intensity as though each were real. Before this they had all seemed equally beautiful, before this when there had been no question of choosing, but now there were clearly some more beautiful than others. And out of the score and more, he chose three most beautiful. And out of the three he chose again, and he chose one most beautiful, a small, slender thing, a body light as a bamboo, and a little face as pointed as a kitten's face, and one hand clasping the stem of a lotus flower in bud, and the hand as delicate as the tendril of a fern uncurled. He stared at her, and as he stared, a heat like wine poured through his veins. "She is like a flower on a quince tree," he said suddenly aloud. And hearing his own voice, he was alarmed and ashamed, and he rose hastily and put down his money and went out and into the darkness that had now fallen, and so to his home. but over the fields and the water the moonlight hung, a net of silver mist. And in his body, his blood ran secret and hot and fast.